Chapter 31. I stared at Lucio for a second. "That's a joke," I said, "right?" She gave me a brief, bitter smile. "Master McAnally," she said to Mac, "I think we could use a round. Do you have anything decent to drink?" Mac grunted and said, "Got a new dark." "Is it worth drinking?" Lucio asked. She sounded tired, but there was a teasing tone to her voice. Mac glowered at her in answer, and she gave him a smile that was part challenge and part apology, and took a seat at one of the tables. She gestured at the table and said, "Wardens, please join me." Morgan took the seat to Lucio's right, and the look he gave me could have burned holes in sheet metal. I did what I always did when Morgan did that. I eyed him right back, then dismissed him as if he weren't even there. I pulled out the chair opposite Lucio and sat. The two youngest wardens sat down, but Ramirez stayed standing until Mac had brought over bottles of his dark ale and left them on the table. He headed back over to the bar. Ramirez glanced at Lucio, and she nodded. "Close the circle, please, warden." The young man drew a piece of chalk from his pocket and quickly drew a heavy line on the floor all the way around the table. He finished the circle, then touched it lightly with the forefinger of his right hand and spoke a quiet word. I felt a flicker of his will as he released a tiny bit of power into the circle. The circle closed around us in a sudden, silent tension, raising a thin barrier around us that was almost entirely impregnable to magical forces. If anyone had been trying to spy on the meeting with magic, the circle would prevent it. If anyone had left some kind of listening device nearby, the magic-saturated air within the circle would be certain to fry it within a minute. Ramirez nodded to himself and then reversed the last open chair at the table and straddled it, resting one arm on the back. Morgan slid him the last bottle of ale, and he took it in one hand. "Absent friends," Lucio murmured, holding up her bottle. "I could get behind that toast," the rest of us muttered. "Absent friends," and we had a drink. And Lucio stared at her bottle for a moment. I waited in the pregnant silence and then said, "So, making me a warden, that's a joke, right?" Lucio took a second, slower taste of the ale and then arched an eyebrow at the bottle. Behind the bar again, Mac smiled.
"It's no joke, Warden Dresden," Lucio said.
"As much as we all would like it to be," Morgan added.
Lucio gave him a look of very gentle reproof, and Morgan subsided into silence.
"How much have you heard about recent events in the war?"
"Nothing in the past several days," I said. "Not since my last check-in." She nodded.
"I thought as much. The Red Court has begun a heavy offensive. This is the first time that they've concentrated their efforts on disrupting our communications. We suspect that a great many wizards never received word through our usual messengers."
"Then they found weaknesses in the communication lines," I said, "but they waited to exploit them until it would hurt us the most."
Lucio nodded.
"Precisely. The first attack came in Cairo, at our operations center there. Several wardens were taken, including the senior commander of the region."
"Alive?" I asked. She nodded.
"Yes, which was an unacceptable threat. When vampires take you alive, it isn't so that they can treat you to ice cream. That was one of the really nightmarish facets of the war with the Red Court. If the enemy got you, they could do worse than kill you. They could make you one of their own. If they managed to turn a warden, especially one of the senior commanders, it would give them access to a treasury of knowledge and secrets, to say nothing of the fact that they would effectively gain, in many ways, a wizard of their own. Vampires didn't use magic in the same way that mortal wizards did. They tapped into the same nauseating well of power that Kemmler and those like him used. But from what I understood of it, the skills carried over. A turned wizard would be a deadly threat to the wardens, the council, and mortals alike. We never talked about it, but there was a sort of silent understanding among wizards that we would never be taken alive.
and an equally silent fear that we might be.
You went after them, I guessed. Lucio nodded.
A major assault. Madrid, São Paulo, Acapulco, Athens. We struck at enemy strongholds there to acquire intelligence to the whereabouts of the prisoners. Our people were being held in Belize. She waved a hand vaguely at Morgan.
Our intelligence indicated the presence of the highest-ranking members of the Red Court, including the Red King himself. The Merlin and the rest of the senior council took the field with us, Morgan said quietly.
That made me raise my brows.
The Merlin, the leader of the senior council, was as defensive-minded as it was possible to be.
He'd guided the White Council into the equivalent of a Cold War with the Red Court, with everyone moving carefully and unwilling to commit, in the hopes that it would give the war time to settle away into negotiations and some kind of diplomatic resolution. An offensive action like a full assault from the senior council, the seven oldest and strongest wizards on the planet, had been long overdue.
What changed the Merlin's mind? I asked quietly.
Wizard McCoy, Lucio said. When our people were taken, he persuaded most of the senior council to take action, including Ancient Mai and the Gatekeeper.
That made sense. My old mentor, Ebenezer McCoy, was a member of the senior council. He had a couple of longtime friends on the council, but that didn't give him a majority vote. If he wanted to get anything done, he had to talk someone from the Merlin's block into casting their vote with him. Either that, or convince the Gatekeeper, a wizard who habitually abstained from voting, to take a stand with him. If Ebenezer had convinced Ancient Mai and the Gatekeeper to vote with him in favor of action, the Merlin would have little choice but to move. And just because the Merlin was a master of wards and defensive magic did not mean that he couldn't kick some ass if he needed to. You don't get to be the Merlin of the White Council by collecting bottle caps. And Arthur Langtree, the current Merlin, was generally considered to be the most powerful wizard on Earth.